Let's read together Psalm 18. In this psalm, we have the greatness of God emphasized in his character, in his deliverance, and in his blessings. Let's begin by reading the first three verses of this psalm. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Let's begin our study of this psalm, Psalm 18, with some background notes. When we compare Psalm 18 with 2 Samuel chapter 22, we find that they are practically the same. In fact, it looks like 2 Samuel 22 was taken and with only slight modifications made a psalm and song for use in temple worship. We also notice when we compare Psalm 18 with 2 Samuel 22 that verse 1 of 2 Samuel 22 is essentially the title of Psalm 18. This is one good indication that the titles of the Psalms are part of the inspired text of Scripture. After all, verse 1 of 2 Samuel 22 is part of the inspired book of 2 Samuel. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul quotes verse 49 of Psalm 18 in reference to Christ, indicating that Psalm 18 is in fact a messianic psalm. Specifically, it is a typical messianic psalm, because on the one hand, we know from 2 Samuel chapter 22 that it concerns David's experiences, as we've seen. But on the other hand, we see that the psalm also looks on to the life of the Messiah, the greater son of David. Thus, David is a type of the coming Messiah in this psalm. In fact, in Psalm 18, we can follow the sequence of the life of our Lord in his death, his resurrection, his exaltation, his second coming, and his glorious earthly kingdom of the future. This can all be glimpsed in a prophetic way as David relates his experiences here in Psalm 18. In verse 4 and following, we glimpse the death of the coming Messiah. In verse 16 and following, we glimpse his resurrection. In verse 20 and following, we glimpse the exaltation of Christ. And in verse 31 and following, we glimpse his second coming. And in verse 43 and following, we catch a glimpse of our Lord's future earthly kingdom. Now, these messianic insights and implications of Psalm 18 could certainly be enlarged upon for our doctrinal or teaching points. But let's consider three aspects of God's greatness for our doctrinal points from Psalm 18. So, doctrinal point number one, God is great in his character. God is great in his character, verses 1 through 3. In the first three verses of this psalm, the verses that we just read, we see the greatness of God's character in a series of metaphors. Rock, fortress, shield, horn, and stronghold. All of these metaphors emphasize God's strength and security and power to protect those who trust in him. The horn of an animal was symbolic of strength. Aren't you glad that there are no metaphors used here for God such as marshmallow or soft clay? The greatness of God's character is guarded by the metaphors rock, fortress, shield, horn, and stronghold. God is great in his character. Doctrinal point number two. God is great in his deliverance. God is great in his deliverance. Verses 4 through 29. Let's read verses 4 through 19 as we begin this section. The pains of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken. Because he was angry, smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire, he sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. In these verses, David reviewed the many times that God had delivered him from the dangers of death, including the use of supernatural means to subdue the enemy. In this highly poetic portion of Scripture, the Lord is pictured as coming in a huge and frightening storm to rescue David. God is so angry with the enemy that the Lord himself is pictured as breathing fire and smoke. Verse 8, smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. In verses 16 through 19, David views himself as having been rescued in the nick of time from many turbulent waters which were about to engulf him. In verses 20 through 29, David, with the eye of faith, explains the moral principles that are involved in God's way of deliverance. Let's read verses 20 through 24. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Now in these verses, David is not implying that he was saved by good works. No. And in the light of the New Testament, it does not mean that a godly believer will never face martyrdom. The Lord may deliver from death or through death, as in the case of our Lord. The point here is that God honors and rewards those who live righteously and do the right thing. In verses 25 through 29, we see the divine moral principle that we have in Galatians 6:7. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap, Galatians 6:7. Now let's read verses 25 through 29 here in Psalm 18 and see this divine principle. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. So we've seen in verses 4 through 29 that God is great in his deliverance, both in the results and in the means he uses. Doctrinal point number 3. God is great in his blessing. God is great in his blessing. Verses 30 through 50. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like hinds' feet or the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path or my steps under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to the king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. In these verses, we see that David gives all the credit to the Lord. This is a victory song of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord for his deliverance from the enemy and defeat of the enemy. You know, I was thinking of verses 33 and 36 in reference to an experience I had the other day of falling off a stepladder. I needed hind feet and larger steps under me. Well, David wasn't exactly thinking of stepladders here. Praise the Lord. The Lord keeps our feet steady and our arms strong in spiritual warfare as we look to him. Notice that the destruction of the enemy is seen as a blessing in these verses. Now, this is not a contradiction to what the Lord taught in the Sermon on the Mount, that is to love your personal enemies. No, these are not just enemies of David, but they are enemies of God. When we are wronged personally, God will take vengeance as he has promised to do for all believers in Romans 12:19. When David thanked the Lord for the blessing of foreigners submitting to him and serving him, in verses 43 through 45, and when David said that he would give thanks and praise among the nations in verses 49 and 50, Psalm 18 certainly goes beyond the experience of David. These blessings look forward to the return of our Lord and his glorious worldwide earthly kingdom. God is great in his blessing. And that brings us now to our practical application for Psalm 18. Don't expect God to answer your ungodly prayers. Don't expect God to answer your ungodly prayers. In verse 41, we read of the enemy that they cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Think of that. Even the Lord did not answer them. Why not? The reason that God did not answer them is that they were not calling out in repentance and wanting forgiveness. No, they wanted help for their ungodly ways. Did you ever make an ungodly prayer? Even Christians can pray ungodly prayers. All kinds of ungodly prayers. Selfish prayers. Prayers that God would satisfy ungodly lusts. Even prayers for the death of some fellow believer. Don't expect God to answer your ungodly prayers.